Amen. Let the church say amen. First of all, I want to give all glory and honor to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in him who doeth all things well, and that we live, move, and have our very being. Amen. Repeat after me the 122nd division of Psalm, verse number 1, where King David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I can't think of a better place to be, Hart Street, but in the house of the Lord, where I can come and get my spiritual refueling, if you will. After the world has beat up on us all week long, storms, trials, tribulations, obstacles, turmoil has come upon us all week long, I can step into the house of God on the Lord's day and get that spiritual refueling that I need, spiritual edification that I need from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I hear David echoing in long ago. He said, I was once young, but now I'm old. And he said, I ain't never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That just lets me know that whatever we're going through, church, we don't have to go through all by ourselves. Jesus already gave us that great invitation when he said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon ye and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All we gotta do is take it to Jesus and leave it there. It's good to see all of you this morning. Me and my wife been traveling on Sunday mornings for quite a while now, and it's good to be back here at Hart Street to see all of you, all of your beautiful faces here this morning. I also have some special people in the audience with me this morning. Firstly, let me introduce my wonderful and lovely in-laws. Elder Joe Stevenson, he's the elder of the Midwest Church of Christ, and my beautiful mother-in-law, Sister Janice Stevenson. They are visiting with us from the Midwest Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky. Then I also have another special person in the audience this morning. I didn't know that this special person was going to be here this day until this morning when she called, when I called her back this morning. And that is Sister Annie Middleton. Sister Middleton, can you please stand so everybody can see you? This is Sister Annie Middleton. She was like a mother to me when I was at Southwestern Christian College. She attends the Dallas West Church of Christ. And I was there when I was at Southwestern Christian College. I was assistant / singles minister. And she was there, and she was just like a mother to me all those years I was in Dallas, Texas. And it's good to have her in the audience this morning, Sister Annie Millington. It's good to see all of you. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. I was very impressed to see the young man up here and doing worship service. You know, it's good to train up your men in the way that they should go. You know, we got to train our men at little kids on up to be the future leaders in the church, because they are going to be our future leaders. And I just want to tell you, you did a great job this morning, wonderful job this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and I'll wait for you at verse number 7. And I want to thank Brother Prowl and Brother Daniels and Brother Jones for giving me the opportunity to preach this today for you as well. It's good to see Brother Coleman too. I forgot Brother and Sister Coleman. They visiting with us. I had Brother Coleman laughing a while ago. He said, well, Brother Triplett, I told him that I was guest speaking this morning. I said, this is my home congregation, but I'm guest speaking this morning. And he said, well, I'm going to try to get you to come up where we at. I said, well, you might not want to do that just yet, Brother, till you hear me preach. Yeah, so it's good to see Brother and Sister Coleman with us today. Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Say amen if you have it. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For so whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to preach to you briefly from the subject this morning. What goes around comes around. What goes around comes around. I'm going to give you 3 points, and the lesson will be yours. The first point we're going to be looking at is an inward sowing. Secondly, an outward showing. And thirdly, a harvest overflowing. First, an inward sowing. Secondly, an outward showing. And then lastly, a harvest overflowing. Before I get into my scriptural text this morning, permit me at this time to give you some historicity so that we can get a holistic view of this pericope of scripture. One of the spiritual laws of the natural world is that a man shall reap what he sows. It is inevitable in its working, whether the seed be wheat or tares. The law of sowing and reaping applies to everyone. Sow only those things you desire to reap. Christians who imagine that they could reap the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, while competing, envying, boasting, and challenging, instead of bearing each other's burdens, were only deceiving themselves. God is not like men who could be deceived or outwitted, and whose laws could be evaded. No man could turn up his nose at him with impunity by being stingy and expecting generosity. Which brings me to my first point, an inward sowing. What do I mean to sow, to scatter, or to extend, to impregnate? Let us look at verse number 7 of inward sowing, our first point, inward sowing. Paul start off by saying, be not deceived. In other words, Paul is telling the church at Galatia, brethren, do not err, or do not go astray, or do not be seduced, or do not roam from safety or truth or virtue, brethren. Why? Because God is not mocked. You cannot turn up your nose at God or belittle God. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap it. Don't you know that God knows all? God sees all? God is everywhere at one time? You cannot fool God. You cannot escape God. We can run and hide and try to fool folk, but God is one you cannot escape, one you cannot hide from. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs is on top of your head. You know that? You cannot fool God. Just as surely as everything in nature reproduce after its kind, harvest becoming as sure as the sowings. So every man will reap what he sows and be responsible for his own destiny. It is folly to talk about reaping eternal life when one sows to the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 10, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? There go our 3 words again. Be not deceived. See, the devil tried to deceive you. But be not deceived, church. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor ephemites, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It is equal folly to talk about being lost if one souls to the Spirit. Romans 8 and 6, Paul says, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So if we sow to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, which is joy, which is peace, which is long suffering, which is gentleness, which is goodness, which is faith, which is meekness, temperance, against there is no law. You know, it's no law for doing good. Am I right about it? Because you're supposed to do good anyway. I tell folk all the time, I said, the reason why we have laws because we have lawbreakers. If we didn't have lawbreakers, we wouldn't have laws. If everybody would do what they're supposed to do, this world would be peachy. This world would be okay. But we have folk who are corner-minded. We have folk that are sinful-minded. And they want to go against everything that's good and right and pure. And that's the reason why we have laws. But you know what? It goes all the way back to where James say this. James chapter 1 and verse number 13, where James said, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and entice. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err. In other words, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. James is trying to get you to see that it all comes from the heart, the mind of an individual. Sin stems from the mind. Because you have allowed Satan to put this temptation in front of you, and you allowed him to captivate you. You have allowed him to come in. See, Satan don't make you do nothing. I know Philip Wilson says Satan made me do it. No, Satan can't make you do nothing. You allow Satan to come into your life. You allow Satan to do what he do. You give him that power. And he has coming in and he takes you over. But it stemmed from the mind, the heart of man. That's why we have to be careful what we look at. We got to be careful what we listen to. We got to be careful the company we keep. Because it's not hard for somebody to pull you down, but it takes a lot of energy for somebody to pull you up. You can't be around folk who is not walking like you trying to walk. You can't be around folk who is not trying to go to heaven like you trying to go to heaven. You got to change everything in your life when you decide to be a child of God. Paul says, be not deceived, brethren, because God is not mocked. I don't know what we think sometimes. I don't know. And I think because, you know what, this is my conclusion of it all. I think the reason why we do what we do is because we don't see any immediate punishment in a situation. See, you know, growing up, we know if we do this, we're going to get a whooping. So we try not to do it because we know we're going to get a whooping. But see, you know, we know that God is our spiritual father, and we down here on earth. But I don't think we understand that there's going to be repercussions and consequences to our actions. And then sometimes we get so comfortable in what we do. Nothing happened to us yet. So nothing ain't gonna happen to us. You fooling yourself. See, that's what Paul's trying to get you to see. Be not deceived. Don't be seduced. Don't let Satan put these thoughts into your mind like nothing's gonna happen. Because whatever you sow, you gonna reap. And see, we get out here and we do what we want to do. Because we ain't got caught in years. And it's gonna be years before we get caught. We out here and we partying and committing adultery and fornication and gambling and we doing all the above. Then come to church on Sunday saying, "Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good." We got them all down pat, don't we? I'm blessed and highly favored. And then we leave out the church house and go back to cussing and fussing and gambling and stealing and drinking and smoking dope and whatever we do. Because why? Ain't nothing going to happen to us. I got news for you. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. It might not be now. And it might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. It might not be the week after. It might not be 6 months from now. But surely, remember this, you are going to reap what you sow. And you don't you know it hurts your family too? When you have, especially you got children and a wife, your actions, it has a domino effect. It hurts your loved ones. Your family members, your wife, your kids. But Paul says, but if we live by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, we don't have to worry about nothing. Am I right about it? Let us look at the second point, an outward showing. An outward showing. Let's look at verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. If one sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. In other words, what goes in surely comes out. It's inevitable, church. What you plant is what will be produced. James tells us in James chapter 3 and 11 and 12, do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. That's what Paul's trying to, James is trying to tell us here. He's saying you can't get fresh water from salt water. You can't get fresh water from salt water or bitter water from sweet water. It's impossible. Like it's impossible to get a orange from off an apple tree. It can't work. It's impossible. What you plant is what's going to come up out of you. And it goes back to what I was talking about, how we live our lives. Don't you know what you plant inside of you is going to come up out of you? You can fake the funk and put up this facade for so long, but it's going to come out. If you put in your heart hatred, malice, envy, strife, it's going to come out of you. It's just like the wheat and the tares. How you know about the wheat and the tares, what Jesus was talking about in the Bible? How when he said there was a man who had sold a good wheat field, that wheat field is the word. And the field is the word, but the wheat was the children of God. And then he said, but while men slept,
The enemy came in and sowed tares. The tares are the children of the devil. He said, while men slept, that was a spiritual sleep. We got a lot of spiritual sleepers in the church. But while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares amongst God's good wheat field. In other words, we got a whole lot of folk in here who are wheat, and we got some tares. Tares in ancient Palestine were a poisonous, noxious weed. And what the tares did, it was that they killed off the wheat. But while the tares were growing up, it looked just like the wheat. You can't separate the wheat from the tares because they look just alike. Just like we got folk in the church look just alike. You think all of everybody's Christians. And then after a while, after the tares start growing up some more, they'll separate themselves from the wheat because they want wheat in the first place. And that's how it is here. Don't you know, as long as you hang around folk, you get to know folk, you know who folk is. And folk don't have, a lot of folk don't have your best interest in heart. A lot of folk don't come to church because they love God. They come to church because they have hidden agendas, hidden motives, ulterior motives. Because why? They don't have the fruit of the Spirit in their heart. They sowing of the flesh. And let me drop this by too while I'm here. I can say this now because I'm married. I used to hear preachers talking to the single people. I can say it too now. Single people, don't be in a rush to get married. Single people, don't be in a rush to find somebody. Love yourself. Learn how to fall in love with you. If you fall in love with you, then you're not going to go out there and find somebody that's going to mistreat you, because you love you too much to let somebody come in your life and mistreat you. You love God. Get that vertical relationship right. Get that vertical relationship. Learn to love God. And then you know God is love. He's the quintessence of love. Then you can learn to love you. You learn everything about you. Fall in love with you. And then when you do that, then you can love horizontally. You can love your neighbor. You can love your spouse, your mate. You can love those people who are even so unlovable. You can love because you know the meaning of love. But I tell folk all the time, and it might be exaggerated a little bit, but folks can tell you a million lies in 1 minute, brother Proud. You know that? Folk can tell you a million lies in 1 minute. Meaning they can just lie and look you straight in your face and just tell a lie. Well, he ain't lying. He looked me straight in the eye. That don't mean nothing no more. Folk can look you straight in the eye and be lying up a storm. But get to know folk. I say give them 7 days. That's my philosophy. Give them 7 days. Hang around them. And I'm talking to single people when they trying to date. Hang around them. Get to know who they are. You know, it don't take that long to find out about an individual. It really don't. Especially if you're talking to them and you hanging around them. It don't take that long. God give you the signs you need. It's only if you see them or not. You may choose not to see him, even though you do see him. But you get warning signs. All you got to do is just stay around him for a while. See how he treat mama, because if he treat mama right, he going to treat you right. See how he treat his sister. Men, see how the women treat their fathers and brothers. Go in their house and see how they treat people. Get to know each other. Investigate. Because why? Because he's going to really show his true self after a while. What goes in will ultimately come out.
What a man sow, he shall reap. But Jesus says in Matthew 7, 15 through 17, beware of false teachers who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are wolves and will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You need never confuse grapevines with thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Different kinds of fruit trees can quickly be identified by examining their fruit. In other words, Jesus is saying you know an individual by who they are. You don't have to be confused, or you know a fig tree when you see one. You know thorn bushes when you see one. It's not hard, because they're going to manifest who they are. We got preachers in the church that's homosexual. Folks working on a table that's homosexual. Drunkards. Drug abusers. Drug pushers. Alcoholics. Prostitutes. Pimps. We got all that here in the church. A lot of them try to stand before you on Sunday morning, leading double lives. Leading double lives. But you know what? Somehow, someway, it always leak out, don't it? Somehow, someway, it always come to a head. Because why? You're a child of God. God is not going to leave you out there on a stem to drop. He's not going to leave you out there to hang and dry. God got your back. Don't you understand? God got your back. If you are a child of God and you are trying your best to live right, to live righteously, to live good, God is not going to leave you out there by yourself. If you're honest with him and you're praying to him, God is going to give you a way out. He's going to give you, he's going to show you what you're asking for. But it's up to you to listen to God. It's up to you to follow God and what he's trying to show you. A lot of times we get mad because God is showing us what we don't want him to show. God, that ain't what I'm looking for. It's the truth, though. But we don't want to see it. We don't want to hear the truth. We want something to give our ears gratification. We want to hear something to itch our ears. We want to hear something that's going to make us feel good. What we want to hear. But it's not about you. It's all about God. Job saying, Job chapter 4 and verse 8. Experiences teaches that it is those who sin, who sow sin in trouble, who harvest the same. When you sow sin in trouble, you harvest the same, church. When you out there and you doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. When things are not going right in your life, just look over your life. When you not being blessed like you ain't supposed to be, look over your life. It's something you're not doing. The reason why you're not being blessed. It's something you're not doing. The reason why you're not growing or getting what you're asking for. It's something you're not doing. You got to look over your life. Either you're a wheat or you're a tare. You can't be one and the same. You can't be one and the same, Brother Daniels. That is why if we're going to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, we need to completely deny ourselves. If we're going to follow God, we got to deny ourselves, church. We got to deny ourselves. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself. Amen. You need to stop doing
those things you formerly did. You need to mortify them. Put them to death. You got to deny yourself. Then you got to take up your cross. See, we got to take up our cross. You know, when we decide to become a Christian, when we decide to be Christians, when we decide to follow Jesus, we have enlisted in suffering. Yeah, did y'all know that? Okay, y'all looking at me like this is all news to you. You have enlisted in suffering. You have enlisted in some pain, some trial, some tribulation. You have enlisted in all that. So when you become a child of God, even Jesus told those who wanted to follow him, he said, look, I don't have a problem with you following me. In other words, paraphrase. But just know this. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. Ain't that right, Dad? But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus said, if you're going to come to me, it's all or nothing. Well, you're going to follow me, it's all or nothing. Nowhere you can hide. Nowhere you can go. But you got to follow me wholeheartedly. You got to follow me to the fullest. If it means dying, you got to die. But you know what? I don't mind dying for Christ. Because when you die for Christ, it's a guaranteed mason robe and a crown. But he said sometimes you might have to die. Sometimes you're going to be trial, tribulation, suffering, obstacles. It's going to be things that come up in your life because Satan is going to try to strip you of your faith, strip you of your joy, strip you of your love, strip you of your strength, strip you of your faith, everything. But hold the God's unchanging hand. Because in the end, you're going to have a harvest that's overflowing. And that's the last point. Harvest overflowing. Harvest overflowing. Read verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season, we shall reap. If we faint not, a harvest overflowing. Harvest is the time of season for gathering the crops, the time of results. That, oh yeah, y'all know that? It's going to be a time of results. It's going to be a time of gathering. Y'all know that, don't you? Let us not be weary or weak or fail in heart. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that ye may not go weary and lose heart. You know what the Hebrew writer is saying here? It's going to be some times when you're going to go through some things, just like I told you a while ago. But he said, when you go through them, consider him. Who is he talking about? Consider Jesus Christ. When you're going through trials, consider Jesus Christ, Brother Davis. When you're going through tribulation, consider Jesus Christ, Brother Proud. When you're going through obstacles, consider Jesus Christ. When you're going through turmoil, consider Jesus Christ. When you're going through your weakness, consider Jesus Christ. Because Jesus paid it all, didn't he? The Bible says that he was mocked, beaten, spat upon, and he didn't do nothing wrong. He died another man's death. We were full of sin. But Christ came and said, I love you. Even when you don't love yourself. I love you. Even when you hate me, I love you. And he went to the cross of Calvary. And he told his father while he was there on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He could have sent a legion of angels down and destroyed the whole world right then and there, but he didn't, because he had a purpose and he had a plan for humanity. And he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sin. So consider Jesus when you think you're going through your little problems. Because that's right, I said little. Our problems is little when it comes to God. When you're going through your little problems, when you're going through your financial difficulties and struggles, when you're going through your illnesses and weakness, when you're going through your domestic issues and children acting up, consider Jesus. Jesus went through it all. In all points, he was tempted, but he sinned not. Consider Jesus. And if you consider Jesus, then that should make you and give you constellation to know that you're going to be all right. You know, we have to have endurance. We have to have endurance. We got to carry on despite hardship. Because you know why? Every day is not going to be perfect, church. Every day is not going to be a bright, sunshiny day. Every day is not going to be a day full of smiles and laughters and grins. There are going to be some days when you wake up, it's going to be dark and gloomy outside, storming, thunder rolling. You might hear a call come in early in the morning, something you don't want to hear. There's been a death in the family. Cousin so-and-so died, mama died, daddy died, brother died, sister died. There might be a doctor calling you, letting you know that you got some type of illness. But you know what? You still hold on to God. You still hold on to him and never let him go. You hold on to him despite your circumstances. You hold on to him in spite of your situations. You hold on to him because it might not look so good, but it is good because God is good. Consider Jesus. And hold on to God's unchanging hand. It's when you let him go, that's when you find yourself in problems and situations. And you start reaping to the flesh. You know this, I'm going to say this while it's on my mind. Y'all got time. It's 11:15. They still cooking the food downstairs. I can smell it. You know, I see folk, they come to church and they happy and smiling because things are going right in their life. They got it going on. Bills being paid. They got a job. The wife got a job. Husband got a job. Driving in brand new cars. I mean, boy, they all right. They got it going on. They feel good. But don't let something happen in the life. Don't let a trial come in. Don't let a tribulation come in. Don't let a test come in, a testing of your faith. That person you usually see don't come. You don't see him the following Sunday. Where's so-and-so at? We don't see him. And then the next Sunday come. Where's so-and-so? Well, you know, child, you know, when that happened, you know, and then the next Sunday after that, you don't see him. Then the next Sunday after that, you don't see him. And then a month, then 2 months, and then 3 months, and then 4 months, then five, and then a year, then year or two. Then they just stop coming all together. Because you let Satan strip you of everything you had. You let Satan strip you of your faith and your endurance and your perseverance, and you let Satan strip you of everything. That's what Paul said. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. There's going to be times in your life that's not going to look so good. There's going to be times in your life where you think that everything around you is crumbling all around you. You think that the world is on your shoulders and you bear the world on your shoulders. But don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. There's going to be times in your life when you feel like throwing your hands up in the air and saying, forget it. I don't want to do it no more. I'm tired of going through what I'm going through. And I go to church and I give like I'm supposed to. I'm there on Wednesday night. I take my communion and I do my offering. And I'm always there. But I cannot get a breakthrough in my life. It seems like everything that I do, it just falls. And I can't see a way out. I can't see a way out. I'm tired of giving myself to other folk. I'm tired of giving. I'm tired of doing. I'm empty. Don't get weary in well doing. Keep on doing it. Keep on giving of yourself. Keep on giving. Keep on working hard for Jesus. Keep on being steadfast. Keep on being movable. Keep on abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not done in vain in God. Keep on doing it. Why? Here's the blessing. For in due season. Y'all believe that? For in due season. Each and every one of us in here have a due season. For in proper time, for in your opportunity or your separate opportunity, you shall reap if you don't lose heart. Everybody, you have an appointed time in your life that you will reap. You will reap a harvest and it will overflow. But you got to wait it out. But you're going to have your time. You're going to have your time of blessings when like Malachi said, and the windows of heaven just open up and blessings just rain down on you. You're going to have your type of reaping. You're going to have the floodgates in your life open up. But hold on. Don't get weary in doing good for Jesus. But you know what I can't stand, Brother Jones? You know what makes me upset more than anything is when folks get jealous. When folks get jealous and envious of other folk. Don't get mad at me because it's my appointed time. Don't get mad at me because it's my due season. Don't get jealous of me. See, that's our problem is we get jealous and mad and envious each other too much. Stop it. Everybody got a due season. Everybody got an appointed time from God. And when it's my due season, give me some encouragement. Give me a pat on the back. Everybody like to have a pat on the back. Brother Triplett, you doing good, brother. Keep it up. God is good. Thank you. It makes me feel good. Because when it's your time, you're going to want somebody to pat you on the back. Brother, sister, so-and-so, you doing good. Keep up the good work. Don't get mad at me. Because it's my time. God has appointed my due season. And so when you see me pull up in a brand new car, I know it ain't about physical things, but you know when God bless you, he bless you all the way around. When you see me pull up in a brand new car, I'm looking pretty sharp. Okay? You see blessings going on in my life. That's because God is my due season. When every time I turn around, there's something good, a blessing. It's my due season. It's my time to shine. It's my time because you know why? Because God want his children to be happy. God want his children to have joy. God want to give his children those things that they ask for, that they need, and also their wants. God want to do that. And just like he do the same for me, he would do the same for you. But don't get jealous at folk. Don't get mad at folk. Don't get envy at folk, because stuff is going on right in their life. Maybe what you need to do is take a look at your life and see why your deuces even haven't came yet. That's what you need to do. Maybe we need to sit down over our life and evaluate our life and see the reason why our due season hasn't come. Maybe I ain't living right. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite. Maybe I need to change some things in my life so I can reap the rewards that God has for me. Sometimes you got to do an evaluation of yourself. But my mama told me a long time ago, don't be mad at other folk. Don't be mad at other folk. You be happy for them. Be happy for them. Just like a farmer who waits for the harvest. James chapter 5 and verse 7 says, now as for you, dear brothers, who are waiting for the Lord's return, be patient like a farmer who waits until the autumn for his precious harvest to ripen. We're going to have an ultimate harvest at the end of the world. But you can also enjoy in the harvest right now. You can also enjoy in our harvest right now on earth. We all have a harvest. But you know what? We have to meditate like Joshua said in Joshua chapter 1. He said, meditate on God's word day and night and do according to all that is written in God's word. And then you will be prosperous and you will have much success. Joshua said, if you meditate on God's word day and night and do all that's according in God's word, everywhere you go, everywhere you step, you shall have success in your life. Be it spiritual or physical, you will have success. But you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. You got to meditate on God's word. You got to do all those things. Study God's word. And then Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, Brother Daniels, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all, not some, but all, not half, but all, not one-fourth, but all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We got all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. But we have to do what God wants us to do. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be a child of God, because not only are we blessed physically, but we are blessed spiritually. After this world is over, we got a promise from God, Brother Davis, that we will rise from the graves and go on up to glory and get our mansion robe and a crown. We are promised to look at walls of jasper and walk down the streets of gold. We are promised a spot in the heavenly courts. We can go to the tree, not an ordinary tree. It's not a redwood tree, not a pine tree, but we can make our way to the tree of life. And then we can see a beautiful river that roll through the city. And it's not the Mississippi. It is not the Missouri. But it's the tree of living, but it's the waters of living water that it runs through the city. No more sun, no more moon, no more stars. Because the radiance of God's face fills the whole heavens. Am I right about it? That is our promise. That is our eternal inheritance. That is our gift from God. That is our hope that we have. And we got spiritual blessings. That is one of the blessings, the huge blessing that we have. But we can have blessings down here on earth. Blessings. Anything that we ask of our Father down here on earth, we should get. Anything we ask for him in his name, we will get. But it's according to how you live your life. It's according to how you, what you do in this life. What goes around comes around. If you're living wickedly, if you're living wicked, not doing right, hell is where you're going to end up at. Hell is where you're going to end up at. But if you're doing good, heaven's your home. You're a child of God. You try to do your best, then heaven's your home. If there's some in here who are not living right, it's your time to come back to them. What goes around comes around. And you are not going to know when it's your time. Don't think I'm going to do it next Sunday. You might not live to see next Sunday. You might not even live to see this afternoon. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your opportunity to get it right with God. God is calling you right now to turn your life around, to give yourself back to him. Because tomorrow's not promised to no man. Tomorrow's not promised to nobody. Today is your day of salvation. If there's some here who are not members of the body of Christ, you come by hearing to believe in faith. Romans 10 and verse 17. For the Bible says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After you come by faith, you got to repent of your last sins. Luke 13, 3, where Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, you shall likewise perish. And after you repent of your sins, Luke, when you do that 180 degree turn, don't do a 360 because you back to where you left off. Do 180. Then you are not going to return back to your old way. And after you do that, confess the sweetest words that ever rolled off of mortal lips, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, where Jesus said, I tell you, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And after you confess Jesus Christ, then you go down to the watery grave of baptism where a spiritual funeral takes place. You die to the old man. You die to your old crooked ways, your old scheming ways, your old wicked ways, your old evil ways. And you're coming up a saint in Christ Jesus, a Christian. Acts 2:38, Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Then John the Revelator over in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 said, if you live faithful unto death, then you shall receive a crown of life. We got to live faithful, church. We got to live faithful. We got to sow seeds of pureness. Sow seeds of the fruit of the Spirit. We got to sow them in our heart. And if we do that, heaven is our home. Some might be sitting here saying, well, that means I can't mess up. I got to live right all the way in my life. Well, yeah, you got to live right. But time to time, you might fall. We're going to fall from time to time. We make mistakes from time to time. But the Bible says that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets back up. You got to get back up and keep on going. That's what you have to do in Christ Jesus. Get back up and keep on going. Jesus told that woman in John chapter 8 that was caught in the act of adultery. When the Pharisees and scribes brought her up to Jesus, and they threw her on the ground, and Jesus told, and they was getting ready to stone her. Jesus said, who was out sin, cast the first stone. And they couldn't do nothing but drop the stones because they know that they weren't perfect. They knew they had sin. They knew their hearts weren't right. And then Jesus asked the woman, where are thy accusers? She said, they gone. He said, well, get up and go and sin no more. Jesus wants us to get up and go and sin no more. when you fall, get up and go and sin no more. You got to do that every day of your life. Get up out your bed and go and sin no more. Heaven will be your home. And if there's somebody here who need to give me your hand and God your heart, do so all this time. Because you know everybody is going through something. We have things that we're struggling with, things that we're going through. Nobody's perfect in here. Paul even said he didn't arrive. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. But I every day I press towards the mark. And that's what we got to do, press towards the mark. Because the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. If there's some who need to be baptized, take on the Christ, take on the Lord in baptism. If there's some who need to ask prayer, do so at this time. As together we say and sing the song of invitation, come to Jesus.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of...
Come to Jesus while the blood is running warm in your veins. Today is your day of salvation. David said, today if you hear my words... David said, today if you hear my words, harden not your hearts. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of salvation. Come to Jesus. He's calling. He's calling. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day. God is waiting. God is knocking. Come to him. Come to him. Come to Jesus. Come to him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.